Right back to Acts 24, and we want to take a look at Paul standing before Felix tonight. There are three big characters that he stood before. You have Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. And we come to the first of these, and Felix, the Roman governor over Judea. He was the most powerful man in the land under the Roman emperor. A Roman governor was either elected or appointed to govern over a Roman province. And he acted in all things as the personal agent of the Roman emperor. He was responsible for taxation. He saw to the minting of coin. He saw to the levies and the gathering in of tribute money that would either run the province and fund the very extensive programs of building roads, reconstruction, and transportation, and then, of course, to fund Rome as well. He had to work with local authorities, had to supervise large-scaled building projects. And on top of that, the Roman governor of a province was the chief judge. It was he and he alone who had the right to rule on capital punishment. Every case must appear before him. His word was final as the law of the land, and therefore he ruled with fear. On top of that, he was the commander-in-chief of the Roman armies stationed in that province. And he was in charge of the welfare of the military, of their training, and the whole safety and protection of not only the army itself, but of the province. And so you can see that a governor had endless powers, and he could only be corrected if he was recalled back to Rome. A good governor was a great blessing, but a corrupt governor was a walking horror, and Felix was shot through with corruption. He was a man who had a personal bodyguard dubbed the Dagger Men. They were well known even in his lifetime as his personal assassins. Anyone that didn't agree with him or got in his way in his power struggles, they didn't last long. Whether they were Roman, Jewish, slave, whether they were bond or free, Felix was very swift to remove anyone that got in his way. He was a married man, total of three times. This wife, Drusilla, was actually Drusilla number two. She was his second wife. His first wife was also named Drusilla, but she was a Greek. He divorced her to marry the daughter of Herodias, undoubtedly for popularity and fame and the gain of that position. From every angle of character study, Felix was profligate. He was sensual, unprincipled, and an unjust governor. The works of Josephus and other historians of the time tell us many such stories about him. But if you look at verse 26 in this chapter we've read, you will see right into the heart of the corruption of this man. When he was having Paul appear before him on a fairly regular basis, you will see here in verse 26, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might lose him. In other words, he was hoping for a bribe. He was a lover of money. And he was open to draw out this whole process that there might be some offer made to him. Now, obviously, from Paul, there was going to be no offer. Maybe some friend of Paul might have had the ability to pay it off. Paul certainly didn't. And Felix was living in the hope that he would do this. If you go on down to the end of the passage, you'll notice that when he ended his tenure there as governor and he was removed, Festus was brought into his position, that while he knew all along that Paul was innocent of all these charges, he left him in prison to please the people. He wanted to leave on a note that he would be remembered by the Jews of being a people lover. Now it was before this man, Felix, the corrupt, murderous, lecherous, wicked man, that Paul stood to preach the gospel. Now he had been brought before him under duress. He had been arrested in Jerusalem. He had been brought by night down to Caesarea. He was now in the jurisdiction of Felix. And Felix wanted to hear his case. There had been a letter brought by Lysias, the chief captain, and he wanted to know something about that. He waited for witnesses to appear. But in the meantime, he and his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, interested in religious things, wanted to hear from Paul. If you go back to verse 24, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And so here was an open door, an opportunity. Paul did not exactly seek it, but nor was he going to run away from it. And he was now standing before the man who had his life in his hands. And he was to preach concerning the things of Christ. Now this was a godsend, a great opportunity to take the gospel to a very influential man. And it's very interesting to note how Paul handles this situation. Interesting to note how he takes the opportunity, takes his stand, declares the gospel, even to this man, Felix. We might ask, well, will Paul be weak? Will Paul be wimpy? Will he pull his punches? Will he draw back? Or will he just launch out and say anything? Very interesting to note how he conducts this preaching before Felix. So we're going to call this message tonight Paul's fidelity before Felix. The faithfulness of the apostle to declare the gospel at the cost of his own life. Now, I think there's an awful lot to learn from this. I think there are many things that we can grasp that will help us as we would take opportunity to speak to men about the Lord, especially men that may not be exactly friendly to us or to the gospel. How are we to do this? Felix's name, by the way, means happy or lucky. And we could say in one sense, in a worldly sense, this was Felix's lucky day. He was going to hear something he never heard before. And something that could have changed his life forever. And you could also say that this was Paul's great opportunity. But how would he handle it? How would he preach? When you come to verse 25, which really becomes our text tonight, you will find Paul's message to Felix. And it says, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now what we learn from this message of Paul to Felix, right here in this text, Acts 24, verse 25, is number one, be responsible. He was invited and asked to speak concerning his faith in Christ. He was now going to speak in a responsible manner. He could sort of rolled over and play dead. He could have played everything down and said, well, this is not the time for me to be preaching. This is not now, this is not my pulpit. But he grasped this opportunity and he certainly spoke in the full message of the gospel. And Paul realized that he stood before not only men, but he stood before God. And he had a responsibility on his hands, even as this request came to him, speak to us about this faith in Christ. And I can see Paul here, he's preaching in this very fearful situation in this audience, just as candidly as if he was preaching to his neighborhood. And he declares the gospel and he declares the issues with a full responsibility to God and men. And here's the lesson that comes to us. This is our responsibility when it comes to preaching the gospel. No holding back. Especially when the invitation comes to you, and that may happen. Someone may come to you and say, look, you're a Christian. You've been living and acting as a Christian. You've been telling us that you're a Christian. Now, please tell us of your faith in Christ. Now, whatever that situation is, when that invitation comes, we have to be responsible. We can't run from it. You can't run from that task. And you certainly will give account before God. And as Paul did, he was responsible also to Felix and to Drusilla. Now, if you don't, and if Paul had said, I'm not going to take up this opportunity, I'm going to set it by, how horrible he would have felt. What a failure he would have been, claiming to be an apostle, claiming to be a messenger of God. And yet he refuses to speak in this situation. But because he does, there obviously is the blessing and the help of the Lord to him. So number one, be responsible. Number two, be relevant. And I think that's the point we're going to have to drive home here tonight. Paul spoke on the very issues of Felix and the things that Felix needed to hear. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Righteousness. Now, this was a very fair topic to take up. Paul, in this case, would have discoursed on the whole issue of God's moral government over the world. That God rules righteously. He is against the wicked, and he will bless the good and the righteous. He would have said how that evil destroys itself, but righteousness exalted the nation. He would have addressed the philosophies of Greece and Rome and the powers of corruption, that power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Felix would have been drinking this all in. And I'm sure Paul would have introduced the holiness of God as he preached righteousness. And of why God is jealous over his own holiness and over truth and honor, and how God hates with a holy hatred the very breach of his moral law. You can hear Paul go through the gamut of all these issues, and they are ringing in the ears of Felix. What a relevant message to a man who was a murderer, an immoral wretch who was abusing and destroying Judea with his position and That's the reason why he was removed from office and Festus was brought in, because his governorship was a ruin in the nation. And then temperance. Paul would have pleaded for the need of this discipline. Temperance, not just, we always think of temperance to do with alcohol and abstaining from it or controlling it. Temperance is the whole discipline of life. Could be every area of life. Now, as a Roman soldier and a Roman governor, Felix would have known something of that discipline. But he wasn't practicing it in his own life. He was letting everything go. In every area of his life, he was a most intemperate man. He was running to excess. And Paul preached on temperance. And as Paul did so, his whole life must have came up before him, and all these things as a mirror, showing Felix the evil of his life. And then judgment is the three areas that he preached. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment. That short-term gain will lead to eternal pain. When you break the law of God and sin against God, there's a day of reckoning, there's a day of judgment. And Romans, by their superstitious heathen ways, were very conscious. They always talked about the gods. And the gods are against us, and the need to placate gods. And they had even various rituals whereby they would try to appease the gods. And when various tragedies happened or armies were defeated, their common sense, their common statement would be, the gods are against us. Or if they were giving you a good wish, they would say, the gods be with you. That was the kind of language that they used. And they were conscious that there was a day of repercussion, a day of reaping the consequences. And Paul preached, of course, the judgment of the resurrection day, the judgment day, that men will stand before God and give account of every word and every deed. And as Paul went through these issues that were very relevant to Felix, righteousness, temperance, and judgment, Felix began to tremble and tremble. Now, these subjects, of course, are always relevant. They hit the nail on the head every time, and they search and they bring men before God about their life and their deeds and their words, for which all men will give account. This is not preaching that will just pass as a fad. In every generation, every age, these are very relevant issues. And Paul preached to Felix in a relevant fashion. Of course, these things are relevant to you tonight. Righteousness, God's standard. You're living up to, or the breaking of that standard, and the judgment that comes upon men that fly in the face of God. And of course, men today would do well to tremble about these very things and repent and turn to God. But Paul preached with relevance. And I don't need to turn to faddish things today to preach relevantly to men. These are issues that you are going to face. They're real to you. You're going to have to give answer. But the third thing I would say in this verse is that Paul was reasonable. And that's the third lesson we have. Be reasonable. Paul used wisdom and tact before Felix. Paul did not name Felix by name. He did not name one of his particular sins or crimes. He did not look at Drusilla and say, you two are not properly married. He did not get into all the issues of the personal deeds of Felix. He preached in a general fashion, the great issues that are relevant, but they're relevant to all men. And they are relevant to Roman, to Greek, to Jew. And Felix could not say, well, this message is it's honed and dovetailed just for me. No doubt it was a relevant message for him. But Paul was preaching with some tact. And he was preaching that which was reasonable. And I think preachers and those who are personal witnesses need to be very careful. You don't run up to somebody and fly in their face and say, you're a great sinner. Do you know what you did last week? Or at least, I think I know what you did last week. And really all you end up doing is causing a whole pile of offense. You don't win people to the Lord by jumping on their every failure and every flaw and naming their sins one by one and causing great offense. The wisdom that Paul applied, the tact that he used, was that he preached the great truths of God's righteousness, God's call for men to be temperate, and the fact that there is a judgment day, but that applies to all men. And of course the Spirit of God was working, and Felix's conscience was working, and he was trembling. But Paul did not point the finger right at Felix. Of course it could have been the end of his own life if he did. But nor would it have been wisdom and tact to do so. And I think there's something to learn here, that when we preach against sin and the things that offend God and the things that God will judge, that we let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. Oh yes, we have a responsibility to preach against sin. I'm not going soft on sin here. Paul didn't go soft. We preach against sin. We preach against all ungodliness. We preach about everything that God is against and everything that God hates. But allow the Holy Spirit to do the convicting of the individual heart. You get somebody that comes into church for a week or a month or whatever, and you start to witness to them, and they say to them, now, tell me what your weaknesses are and what your sins might be. Going to cause offense. Or if I as the preacher do not apply some tact, and if perchance I come to know that an individual has sinned, particular sin in his life, and every time he comes to church I name that sin, perhaps there's a point at which I'm trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, I have to be careful and say, I do not believe in going soft on sin. Let's preach on it this way that, as Paul did, in those general terms. And Paul found a way to be faithful to the truth. He did not pull any of the punches, and it obviously hit the mark, because Felix did tremble. And he felt the power of what Paul was saying. But he could not say to Paul, you're just preaching against me. And if he did, Paul could have easily defended himself. Look, sir, what I've said here today applies to all men. Jew and Gentile, it applies to me as well as to you. And I think there is the better part of wisdom and tact and a winning spirit as he stood before Felix, seeking to preach the gospel to him. And so in preaching and witnessing, be reasonable. Be reasonable. The fourth thing is be reformed. Now I want to explain this one. Paul did not point an unrepentant Felix to Christ for salvation. He did not tell him, now you're ready to get saved. Although he was trembling. Although there was some sense of his own sin and his own wrongdoing, and he was uncomfortable under the ministry of what Paul was saying about these things, even though Felix trembled, it was not reformation. He was still a corrupt, hardened sinner, and he was still a rejecter of the truth of the gospel. And at this point, this man was not ready to be converted. He was not ready to be saved. Why? Because he still loved his sin. He was still holding on to his sin. And therefore Paul didn't say to Felix, you can now get right with God. And we're told here that Felix began to make some excuses. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now I bring this up, be reformed, because in easy believism and in evangelism which follows the Finney model of easy believism, that if you can get a man just to say the words and to repeat a little formula of salvation, you can get that man saved. That was not the approach of the Apostle Paul. And while Felix was unrepentant, unbroken over his sin, while he was still in love with his sin, there was no attempt to point that man to the Lord Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean he didn't tell him about the Lord Jesus. Of course he did. He told them the whole gospel message from A to Z. Paul didn't pull any punches. He told them the way of the cross, the way of salvation. But Felix was not ready to be saved until he was broken over his sin. And that's what I mean here by be reformed. And it is proper and right to preach all the fullness of the gospel to men, but we must call them to forsake their sins, without which they can never be saved. Without repentance, you can never be saved. And I, of course, call you tonight. The only way that you can have an interest in the Lord Jesus is when you are truly repentant over your sin. You can have no assurance of salvation until you are willing to flee from all known sin. And so Paul here was reformed. Lastly, be a reckoner. Paul used all his powers of persuasion. It says here that he reasoned. And as he reasoned of righteousness, he did not just preach casually to Felix and say, well, the gospel's A, B, C, D, there it is, there you have it, take it or leave it. Paul reasoned. He lined up and marshaled his arguments. He set it out before Felix, the reasonable faith that he believed in. And he sought to convince this man and win his mind and heart with the truth, and to bring him from that place of wicked practice to a repentant attitude. Paul reasoned. He persuaded. He hammered home each and every truth that he set before Felix. And of course Felix needed to be reckoned with. He was a wicked man, an ungodly man, and he needed to be brought to the bar before God. And Paul did that very effectively. He brought Felix to stand before God. He needed to see the urgency of a soul. And you will see that he was making excuses, and in a convenient season I will call for thee. And how many to this day come up with the same excuse. Well, I hear what you're saying, Paul, but it's not a good time. I hear what you're saying, Paul, and I can't answer your arguments. I'm trembling with what you're saying, but, you know, it just doesn't fit into my lifestyle right now. I'll hear you again. Maybe you're doing that tonight. Maybe you're saying, well, you know, right now I'm too young for this. I've got a whole lot of ideas and plans and things that I've dreamed about that this would upset at all. If I was to become a Christian now, if I was to repent of my sinful ways and turn my life and hand it over to God and to trust the Savior now, what would happen to my plans? Too young. It's not convenient. And then there are those in business, and they said, I'm too busy. And right now I'm trying to get on my feet business-wise. It demands long hours, and it demands that I can't commit myself to a Christian life. That upset my whole style of business. It's not convenient. And in midlife you might say, well, things will slow down for me before too long. Right now I've got a lot of demands and pressures that are upon me, and I'm at that stage of life where everything is just crowding in, but in another 5 years or 10 years, things will gear down a bit, and maybe then I'll consider being a Christian. Paul would persuade with Felix. He reasoned with him. And I reason with you tonight that if there's someone here and you're not saved, there may never be another convenient time. And you can be absolutely sure that the more that you put off the hour of salvation, the more hardened, the more worldly, the more callous you become to the claims of the gospel in your life. We don't meet this Felix again in the Bible. When he was losing his position, he didn't repent. He left Paul in prison. Paul ended up in this jail for 2 years. You remember, Jerusalem was just a little diversion to take the funds and the support for the needy brethren in Jerusalem, and he was supposed to be on his way to Rome, and now 2 years in a jail, all because of this wicked man, Felix, this unprincipled man who knew that Paul had done nothing wrong or of reason for bonds or for prison. But he left him, seeking the pleasure of the people. That's the real heart of Felix. Paul reasoned with him. I reason with you tonight. Righteousness. There is right and wrong in this world. Temperance. You can't stop sinning in the flesh. You're a sinner by nature. You're a sinner in practice. Judgment? Well, the Bible says you're condemned already. The Bible says you don't need to wait until you go to the judgment seat to discover whether you're right with God or not. The Bible says that all those that are out of Christ, without a Savior, are condemned already. John 3:18. Condemned already. There's judgment. And you tell me, but I'll wait until it's more convenient? What a foolish idea. Paul reasoned, and I appeal to you tonight, even with boys and girls, teenagers here, give your heart and your life to the Lord tonight. This is the night the Lord is speaking to you. Now is the opportunity of salvation. There can be no guarantees of a tomorrow or a next time. But you're here tonight. You know you need to be saved. The Lord Jesus will save you if you repent and turn away from sin. I reckon with you tonight. I bring you to give account for your actions, what you're doing with the gospel. And I trust we learn from Paul here that even in the most difficult, threatening situation, that we be faithful, that we be responsible, and that we plead with you for your soul. May the Lord minister to you. And if I can help you in your need for salvation, I'll be glad to speak with you later. You can sit in your seat and I'll come to you, or you can speak with me at the door tonight.